canine yelp, hastily examining her hand to check that she still had all her fingers. I was insulted. Who did she think I was? Some kind of amateur? Good, I said. You've dropped it. How wise. It'll save me putting a slug through your brachial nerve. Now step away from your piss-poor excuse for friends and start walking back towards the vehicle. They're hurt, you bastard! Look on the bright side. They could be dead. And they would be, too, I thought, if they didn't reach help in the reasonably imminent future. The water around them was already assuming an ominous cherry-coloured complexion in what little light there remained. Do what I told you, I said. Walk towards the cable car and we'll take it from there. You can call for help once we're airborne. Of course, if they're very lucky, someone from the mulch may get to them first. You piece of shit, she said, whoever you are. Dodging my gun between the woman and her moaning friends, I trudged between the bodies, examining them out of the corner of my eye. Hope none of them have implants, I said, because I hear the mulch people like to harvest, and I'm not sure they're too particular about going through paperwork first. You piece of shit! Why are you so upset with me? Just because I had the nerve to fight back? You're not the target, she said. I don't know who you are, but you're not the target. Who are you, incidentally? I tried to remember the one name I had heard the hunting quartet use. Chantrell, is that your name? Very aristocratic. I bet your family was high in the Demarque before the Belle Epoque went belly up. Don't imagine you understand anything about me or my life. As if I wanted to. I leant down and retrieved one of the rifles, inspecting its readout cartouches to ascertain that it was still functional. I felt edgy, even though I had the situation essentially under control. I had the feeling, indefinable but present nonetheless, that another of their number had lurked behind the main party, was even now scoping me out through the sight of something high-powered and unsportingly accurate. But I tried not to let it show. I'm afraid you were set up, Chantrell. Here, look at the side of my head. Can you see it? There's a wound there for an implant, but it never functioned properly. I took a risk, assuming that Waverley had done the work on the real victim before he died, or would have been replaced at short notice by an equally surly understudy. You were tricked. The man was working for saboteurs. He wanted to lead you into a trap, so the implant was modified, so that the positional trace was no longer accurate. I grinned cockily, though I had no idea whether such a thing was possible. You thought I was blocks from here, so you weren't expecting an ambush. You also weren't expecting me to be armed, but, hey, some days you get the bear. Then I glanced down at her ursine friend. No, sorry, my mistake. Today I got the bear, didn't I? The man thrashed in the water, his palms clenched around his thigh. He started to say something, but I kicked him quiet. Chantrell had almost reached the black wedge of the cable car. A large part of my gamble depended on the vehicle being empty, but it was only now that I felt reasonably sure that the risk had paid off and there was no one hiding inside. Get in, I said, and don't try any funny tricks. I'm not known for my massive sense of humor. The car was sumptuously laid out, with four plush maroon seats, a glittering control panel, and a well-appointed drinks cabinet ensconced in one wall, along with a rack of gleaming weapons and trophies. Keeping the gun aimed at the back of her neck, I had Chantrell take us aloft. I presume you have a destination in mind, she said. Yes, but for now I just want you to find a nice altitude and loiter. You can give me a tour of the city if you like. It's a wonderful night for it. You're right, Chantrell said. You're not known for your sense of humor. In fact, you're about as hilarious as the melding plague.